From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we're rejoicing and glad that Father Memo is sitting across the table from us. Father, good day to you.
Hello, Bob. How are you doing?
Doing very good. Father is the Director of Vocations here in the Diocese of Sacramento and have come off two big events in the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
The first was the Vocations Dinner at Good Shepherd Parish in Elk Grove.
Yes.
Racket court. We could hear the tennis going on in the background. And then the annual vocations, it was a vocations basketball game, and it's the priest and seminarians. It used to be priest versus seminarians, but now they divide it up. I'm not sure if they do it by alphabet or region or what they do.
You know, that's a very good question. Well, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me once again.
Sure.
To be with you and the audience of Radio Católica, or Catholic Radio. I'm
yes.
speaking in Spanish, I'm sorry. Catholic Radio.
We do have Radio Santissimo Sacramento.
Exactly. That's why my brain is swifting with one in another. And also, thank you all those who listen to us from Radio Relevant.
Right.
So the reason or the way it is ordered is unknown.
It's unknown to anyone. It's a secret.
It's a secret.
It's only buried in a vault somewhere.
The coaches, Father Jovito Rara, who is one of the pastors of our diocese, he's the one who is held by a secret committee. Yes, I'm just playing with this word, you know. It's no secret. It's a group of wonderful priests from the diocese that gather together, and they put together this basketball game in order to promote vocations to priesthood and religious life. And the intention is to invite families to have fun and to come and to cheer up for the priest and know that being a priest is being a human being.
Right.
Human beings that also have.
I think that's part of it. The priests want everybody to see they have a life beyond.
Correct.
And it's not really beyond, it's part of.
Yeah. And we enjoy playing. We enjoy doing sports. We enjoy creating fraternity. We enjoy fighting each other, as sometimes happens in any sport event.
Sure.
You know, for the sake of the team, defending your team.
Right.
All those kind of things, you know, and this is who we are.
Yeah.
And at the end, you see, at the beginning, we start with shaking our hands and praying. At the end, the same, we
same thing.
End up with a hug and praying together. So we are brothers.
Yes.
We are
that
never
That was real
enemies.
Obvious. It was real obvious.
We had a lot of fun, especially the fun because it's, you know, seeing your friend priest running like crazy while he's, I don't know,
nobody pulled a muscle or turned an ankle or anything.
We have been praying so much for this for this game this year. And believe me, the priest didn't practice that much.
I witnessed.
They started to practice like a week before the game, week and a half. And I was so glad that everybody was healthy.
Yeah.
I was able to see some of them next day because there was another event. And precisely, Father Jovito, he celebrated his 15 years of priesthood.
Uh-huh.
And I saw some of the basketball players, and I asked them, how are you doing? Are you okay? Were you able to wake up? And all of them were, of course, complaining because of the bodies were sore.
Sure.
But it's expected.
Well, it bypasses the brain. You see the ball, and you have to run. And and you don't even think, I should go slow, or I should pace myself. Like maybe if you're jogging or swimming or something, you're just, it's all action.
Yes, yes.
But you know who else had fun? Were the fans.
Oh, yeah.
Standing room only. I mean, it was packed, and then people around the edges. And I was fortunate enough to be there as the public address announcer. And when I started introducing the priests and the reaction from the crowd, it was like, I turned to one of my daughters came with me, who's in college, and I said, this is so much fun. And she agreed. She said, this is just great fun. And then the other thing is, whoever balanced the teams, they really balanced them. It ended up being a 2-point game.
Did you notice
that? Almost
exactly.
Tied.
Exactly. It was very well balanced.
Yeah, one,
I don't know.
One team led, and then the other team led, and they went back and forth and back and forth.
And they were complaining at the beginning because they said, oh, no, this team is only the small ones, you know, because yeah. they are short in, right. in stature. And the other team is the tall ones. But the shortest ones seem to be the more skilled in this.
And they were faster.
And they were faster. While the tall ones, though they have the body.
Right.
You know,
basketball body, yeah.
But they were not that skilled.
Yeah, it was very interesting, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you look at some of the best players in the NBA; they're not necessarily 7 feet tall.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Some of them are much shorter.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
Great.
It was very competitive.
It was great.
But then to see everybody get together at the end and sing "Salve Regina," that just always goes right to the heart.
That was a beautiful moment as well. And I'm so thankful for everybody who participated in different ways. Some people paid their tickets and were there. Some people just paid the tickets and they couldn't come. But they wanted to give this money as a donation for the formation of the seminarians, which is the purpose of that money.
Right.
But this event is not for the money. We don't do it as a fundraising activity.
Right.
It's not the intention. The intention is to promote vocations, inviting families to come and have a good time.
Yeah.
Since they are there, well, we say, why not? Just a few dollars,
and
why not?
It was only $10 a ticket, and it was even $5 all the way through college.
Exactly.
So, yeah, very, very low price ticket.
Yeah, and it's a great time. We are very thankful as well to for the collaboration and generosity of Christian Brothers High School, because they provided for, you know, that
they
wonderful
provided everything.
Gym.
They provided the gym, they provided security, they provided all the technical. We had a few issues with the microphone, and they're right there to fix it, you know.
Yes.
And the snack bar?
His snack bar was very good. The man at the snack bar, he was kind of complaining at the end. And he said, Father, if I knew that so many people would come, I would have, you know, been better prepared.
Yeah, right.
I said, well, I'm telling you this year, because next year is going to be bigger.
That's right. We may have to move it to Golden One.
Who knows?
You know, I wonder. I wonder how many people we could get in there. That
I don't know.
I'm probably Christian Brothers. I'm guessing 1,200, maybe 1,500, something like that. But it
probably.
Was packed.
It was packed in speed of God, and I don't know. Maybe we need to do the study to see if it's convenient, because we will be charged there for sure.
Probably prohibitive in terms of cost, because you're talking about 50 security guards and people to, you know, at every, because they guard the entrance and security and, you know, all that.
And is that someone that belongs to that committee of Golden One is listening to us and say, hey, Father Memo,
welcome.
Welcome to the diocese. That's going to be another thing, but who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, so it was a great event, and I'm very thankful to your presence, for your presence there. You
it
did
was a
joy. Great job there. And everybody was so happy and so thankful.
Well, it's interesting because I remember in introducing the priest, I introduced Father Rada, and I said in a game a few years ago, the priests were down by 8 points late with about a minute to go, and he made three straight 3-point shots, and they won by 1 point. And he kind of nodded, yeah, I did. And he comes out, first shot from 3-point, boom, and it's good.
They are great.
So it was... He's a lot of fun. Father Ray, who was my pastor at St. James in Davis for the last 6 years, so much. He had so much fun. I could just tell he was having fun. And there was a contingent from St. James there. There were contingents from so many parishes.
Yes.
I didn't think they'd ever stop cheering when I introduced Father Rob de Rivera. Rod.
Yes, you're right. From Anderson.
Oh, he has a following.
Oh, man, he has so much energy.
Yeah.
He was the cheerleader for his own team.
Right, and he's up in Anderson now.
He's in Anderson. And people from Chico came all over the way from Chico, let me tell you. Even though no one priest from Chico played.
Right.
But people from that area came down.
Yeah, well, I remember I introduced a priest from Quincy, and I said he wins the award for coming the furthest. And then I get further into it, and another one was from Bernie, and I said, oh boy, I'm not sure if Quincy or Bernie, which one's further. They're both That's a long drive.
The same, I guess. You're talking about Father Saul,
right?
Who is not anymore in Quincy. He was moved to another parish,
right?
And then you were talking about Father Paul from Burnie.
From Burnie.
He's not in Burnie anymore. He was transferred to another parish.
Yeah, and July 1st is the magic date for that.
But at the time of the game, certainly they were both of them in Quincy, Father Saul and Father Paul in Burnie.
Yeah, both beautiful little towns.
And yes.
It always tears at my heart when we visit a little town and you find the Catholic Church, and sometimes it seats 50 people. I remember going with my kids to vigil mass on a Saturday. We went for a ride up into the foothills on a Saturday, and we came to the little town of Volcano.
Oh yeah,
and St. Bernard's. And we saw all these cars. We were planning to come home and go to Mass Sunday morning at our home parish. I saw all these cars driving in the same direction. I'm going, I wonder where they're going. It must be a festival or something going on. And so we drive, and I go, oh, it's 5:30 Mass on Saturday.
Catholic church.
And it was packed. A very small church, but and so welcoming. I mean, they knew we weren't from there.
Yeah.
You know, and they were so welcoming to us.
Nice community there. And that church now is closed, unfortunately.
Is it?
But and everybody went to St. Catherine Drexel.
Oh, so it was a mission of
correct.
Martel, I guess it's Martel, called now.
Yes. Yeah. Now everybody's there in Martel.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Father Colin.
Yeah, but what a beautiful little church it was.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember. I remember going there too.
Yeah, my kids were little at the time, and being in a town of Volcano, they were a little bit nervous. Why did they name this town Volcano?
Yes. that's a funny thing. It's true.
Yeah.
Well, yes, it was a great event. The basketball game and also the dinner.
The dinner was
wonderful. Once again, I'm very thankful to the team of Good Shepherd and Knights of Columbus who did it again, together with the volunteers of the church.
The Knights just do such a great job. And the host parish, I think one of the things that really gives the vocations dinner some energy, renew energy every year, is having it at a different parish every year.
Yeah.
And you get the different council of knights, although you get a lot of the same knights too.
Yeah.
And all the kind of the hierarchy of knights comes from all over Northern California.
Correct.
And or even from the state. But it's Good Shepherd was such a great host for that. But I remember one time it was in Placerville, St. Patrick's, I think that is.
I wasn't there.
And one of my daughters, I have four daughters, one of my daughters came, and she was at the one, she hasn't missed one, but she came, and it was 4 or 5 years ago, I think. And we looked it up, and there was a Saturday Mass at 4, which would precede the dinners. And so we went up, and as Mass proceeded, smoke kept drifting into the church, and I'm going, man, is there a forest fire up there? We're up in Placerville, you know, where we got all the trees and mountains. Yeah. And I said, is there a forest fire going on or something? And then the smoke started to smell pretty good. You know? And I thought, wow, what is going on here? And it was, they were cooking tri-tip outside, right outside the kind of the side door of the church, and it was slipping through the door.
Oh, no.
And the tri-tip was for the dinner.
Oh. Impossible to say no to that dinner.
It was impossible to say no. So I think they ended up getting a lot of people that said, where can I get that tri-tip? And they all came to the vocations dinner. Yeah, and they've had it in Our Lady of Grace in West Sacramento. They've had it St. Clair and Roseville, I think.
St. Joseph in Vacaville.
St. Joseph
too.
In Vacaville.
St. Mary's last year.
St. Mary's in Sacramento last year. Yeah.
And this year was Good Shepherd. Next year we have the place is going to be St. Paul in Sacramento.
In Sacramento.
On Florin Road.
Florin Road, yeah. Very good.
Everybody's invited. I believe it's in June 24th. June 24th is the day that Bishop gave us. Bishop is the one who sets the date.
Right.
We don't have control over that.
It'll be June 24th. So
June 24th.
So
Bob, you already know.
I'll write it down.
Put it down.
I will write it down. My daughter, who always comes, she just finished her freshman year at UC Santa Cruz. And at the start of the year, she said, Dad, do you know... do you know when the vocations dinner is? Because I'm putting on my calendar and telling all my friends or whatever that day's taken. So we'll give her June 24th. I think in St. Paul's, is that the church that has chickens walking around in the front? There's one church down on Florin that I visited one time. It was like a parish mission was going on, and they had a couple of speakers, and they were very interesting. And outside, I think it was St. Paul's. It's kind of east on Florin.
Correct.
Yeah.
That can be.
They may have just on that day there were chickens walking around.
Maybe. It was years ago, you know, the development of houses having just recently in that particular area.
Because it looked very rural where the church itself was. Yeah.
Because houses are big, and the lands are big.
Yeah, they've got 5 acres or something. Yeah.
Something like that. So it's very common for families to have their own chicken, their own livestock, at least at that time.
Yeah, ranchettes, I think they call them. The little 5-acre, you get your house, and you got goats. Not quite farming, but you're just, you know.
Still enough for you to have something.
Exactly. Kind of
animals that you cannot have in the city, when the city is small houses.
So how do you pick where you're going to have
the Knights of Columbus do a very good job asking around, hey guys, who volunteer for next year to host us? Mm-hmm. And they, among those who raise their hands, they choose. They pick the one who is more, the one that is available and the one that can offer, you know, the facility for that.
And one of the knights who was so involved, I don't know what his title was, probably chairman, was George Bagley.
Oh, yeah.
And George promised me last year that next year we're going to do it in Honolulu. But I guess that didn't happen.
Am I invited? No, I don't think that we can do
fly
that.
Everybody over there. It's not in the diocese, unfortunately.
It's not in the diocese. Cannot be there. Cannot be there.
What happens when you are a priest somewhere and you get named as the bishop of Hawaii? Do you feel like you died and went to heaven?
Imagine. I don't know.
It's like, wow. Such a beautiful place.
It is indeed. It is. I have never been there, but based on the pictures and the movies, it looks like a very beautiful.
Yeah. I haven't been there much, but I remember the one time I was there, and it was getting to be evening, and you walk into the hotel, and there's no doors to the hotel. They just let the ocean breezes kind of
so beautiful.
Yeah, just like we don't need doors. We just let it's always 75 or 80 degrees, and then it'll start raining for a few minutes just to keep everything green, and then the sun comes back. It's like, I don't know, it might get a little old. I like our change of seasons. I like it to get cold, and I like it to get hot, but it's.
Well, that's a tropical area, it's kind of the way it is,
Yeah, it's just, it's almost like they say Panama has no seasons at all. It's just because it's right on the equator. And it's
exactly.
Just,
the whole year is about the same. Rainy season and dry season. That's the only thing that exists.
But temperature doesn't change much. And you don't get the longer days or the shorter days. They're all pretty much the same. Yeah, about the same, yeah. I've never been to Panama. A lot of places I haven't been there. You have that bucket list of places to see, but life takes over. Travel's great, but being at home is great too.
Yeah, exactly. There are many places that I need to know here in California. I live here now.
California has, and my wife's from Montana, and when we go on vacation, we'll go to a different part. Maybe we'll go to Oregon or Washington, but or even Canada, but frequently just someplace in California. And she just says, there's so many different Californias. There's the desert, there's the mountains, there's the ocean. It's just like no state.
Exactly. And everywhere there is something new to know.
Something new to know.
And beautiful. Everything is beautiful.
There are so many places in California where I say, if you didn't believe in God before you saw this, you would now. The redwoods, the giant redwoods. I remember the first time there with my kids saying, those trees are go back to the time of Christ. And nobody planted that seed. No farmer came and planted it. Nobody working for the forestry department. No. Nobody watered it. Nobody fertilized it. Nobody put out the forest fire. Nobody did anything. And look at it. It's 365 feet tall. Another place is Yosemite.
Yosemite.
Yeah. Why? How would you not believe in creation after seeing Yosemite, the beauty, you know, just the raw beauty. And then the ocean, of course.
The ocean is beautiful.
And we've got more coastline than just about anybody. And then the desert. The desert is
They are very unique.
Fascinating.
The kind of plants that you find.
You can't even believe how is this thing growing at 120 degrees. And there's still wildlife there, you know. And Death Valley is, 200 and some feet below sea level.
Oh, okay.
And Mount Whitney is 14,000 feet. It's the highest place in the continental U.S. and the lowest place. And you can practically see one from the other.
Wow.
Yeah.
So amazing. You see, those places I had never been there.
Yeah.
So I need to go one of these days.
Go to Death Valley in the summer.
Is it 150? Is it the place?
120. The all-time record's 134.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was exaggerating.
But the day my wife and I went before we had kids, and it was in summer, just to see what the heat was like, and it was 121.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a different experience. It's... And you wonder, how could people have settled that area? But they did.
Exactly.
They settled it back long before we had air conditioning, long before, you know, they came in there with mules, you know. And it's just amazing they were mining something, you know. And
for sure, yeah.
You know, it's amazing what all the different pioneers and... You wonder what
possessed strong people.
Yeah, people. You know, I mean, you look at the Donner Party and all the other people that immigrated to California, and you think, what possessed them to give up their lives in Missouri or New York and get on a wagon and go across miles and miles and miles of desert? Once you cross the Sierra and hit the desert, say at Reno, it doesn't stop till Utah.
Yeah.
It's a big desert.
It is indeed.
And to imagine going across that with kids and horses it's just mind-boggling.
No water?
No water. Yeah, very little water. You had to basically bring everything. And if somebody got sick, what did you do?
Nothing.
You know, or the horse breaks an ankle.
Yes, that's it.
You know.
That's the end of your journey.
Yeah, I know. There you are. So it's amazing.
We are here, and we thank our ancestors for all the hard work that they did for us.
And sure. Yeah,
it's goodness.
It's amazing to me how it seems like virtually every state had Native Americans, for want of a better word, who had been here for centuries.
Yes.
And how they all lived, how they all survived, how all, you know, through famine, through floods, through, you know, we have so many resources now to deal with that, you know. If you've got a forest fire, you can get in your car and try to escape. You know, back then you had nothing.
You have to depend on your own senses.
Exactly.
And the wisdom of the ages, telling you how to take care of the resources, natural resources.
Right.
That was something that we need to learn from them. We need to learn from them.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So the vocations dinner, I've been to all of them, and I think this was the best one.
Thank you.
I think it really was. I think what happened, I know your committee gets together afterwards, and it's kind of like troubleshoots. You know, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? How was the food? Were things on time? Were there gaps? And this one, and just everything, just one part flowed to the other. And getting to hear all the seminarians speak was a real treat. And the two keynote speakers were just really good.
Yeah,
really good.
Victor Amador, our seminarian, and sister, was a very good one.
Yeah, very. She was from Peru.
She's from Peru.
Yeah.
And she's from the community PES, Pro Iglesia Santa.
Right.
Which is from Peru.
The founder is from Peru.
Right. Well, I don't know if the founder is from Peru, but the founder founded in
Peru. Oh, she founded it in Peru. Yeah, but not necessarily Peruvian.
I'm not sure if the founder was from Peru.
Yeah. So they were very inspiring.
Yes.
And the food was darn good.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. And it went quickly. Everybody got served about the same time. Sometimes with big dinners, it's, you know, one table's already finished their dinner and the other table doesn't have their food yet, you know, and that didn't happen here. It was very well organized.
Well, every year our team is getting better and better, based on the experiences in the past.
Maybe you guys should go into the business of throwing banquets.
I don't think so. No, I don't think that anyone wants
once
that.
Once a year is enough.
Once a year is more than enough because it takes a year to prepare.
It really does, doesn't it? I know George Bagley, I think, first called me in January just to talk about, you know, we're planning to do this and we're planning, this is where we're going to have it. And you know, it's like it takes a lot of planning. I think George...
George and Anna, they
sleeping are amazing. In the rectory there for the last month.
they work until late in the night, and they wake up early in the morning, and they work very hard for this. They have I admire this couple. They love the Lord, they love the church, and they love anything that they can do for vocations and for the church.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like you, something like you.
Oh, thank you. It's a labor of love.
It is.
Father, before you go, we have Quo Vadis coming up very soon.
Yes, thank you for announcing that. We have Quo Vadis. Is this for boys, 13 to 17 years old, and it's going to be in Colfax, California, an hour away from Sacramento, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We will have games. We will have moments of prayer. We will have food, plenty of food for the boys, and of course, the talks given by priests, religious brothers, for married couples, because we'll talk about this, you know, about what is the vocation of those young men that are coming.
Right.
That's the intention of the retreat.
Yeah, and it's at Trinity Pines, which is a retreat center, and has a lot of activities. A nice big place.
It is indeed.
Yeah, but they sleep indoors.
Yes, of course, yes. Yeah, there are places for the kids to sleep in groups.
Right.
And it's very safe. That's very safe, yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's a perfect spot. Perfect spot. And contact the vocations.
The Office of Vocations. The best way to register is by using the website that we have. There is a link in our website. You just go to that website.
SCD.org.
Correct.
Right.
In the website of the Diocese of Sacramento, you just go to the link for Office of Vocations, and you will find down, you scroll down all the page, you will find that poster and the link for registering for the Quo Vadis retreat.
Quo Vadis, where are you going?
Exactly. Yeah. It's a Latin word, so those who are listening to us, you might think like, what is that? Quo Vadis? I know it's hard to understand. It means, where are you going?
Where are you going? Q-U-O. And the next word is V-A-D-I-S. Yeah. Father, always a joy. Thanks for all you do.
Thanks for
bringing so many people to the Lord.
Thank you. Thanks be to God. Pray for our men. By the way, last time that I came here, I couldn't announce it. I guess I didn't announce it because I was not certainty. But now I can announce it officially. We have two men coming into the diocese for the seminary formation. One is Matthew Graham from where he grew up in Roseville, St. Rose in Roseville, but his parents now live in Rockland. And he is a graduate from Berkeley, UC Berkeley, as an engineer. And he's going to Menlo Park, St. Patrick's Seminary in Menlo Park for the theological studies.
Right.
And we have Ralph Tronsey.
Right.
He graduated his high school from Christian Brothers. Mm-hmm. No, excuse me, from Cristo Rey.
Sacramento. That's right, Cristo Rey.
And he was studying the first year in Sac State and working as teacher at St. Mel's, teacher aide at St. Mel's. And he is going to be assigned as a Mount Angel in Portland. Mount Angel, Oregon.
Yeah, a little bit south of Portland, off of Interstate 5, probably a little closer to Salem.
Exactly.
And I've been told that Mount Angel has a great Oktoberfest.
It is.
I have not been.
I heard about it. I have never been able to do it, to go there. But October is coming up. Who knows?
Indeed. Yeah. Well, Father, always a joy.
Thank you.
Thanks for all you do. And we'll look forward to talking to you again real soon. And we're going to circle that date. Everybody's invited to this.
Yes.
The other highlight was all the altar servers getting their certificate from the bishop and getting their picture taken with the bishop. It was great.
That was always a very good. And there is live auctions. And there is live music.
And live music,
it's a young man. He's only 17 years old. And he plays the piano. Wonderful. Rain is his name.
Yeah.
Rain.
Great piano player.
Yes. So everybody's invited. You will have a lot of fun. And as Bob said, you will see Bishop Soto and priests, religious brothers and sisters, and you will hear the seminarians speak about their journey in this vocation.
It's really worth doing. And bring your kids.
That's it.
Father, God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you for the invitation. God bless everyone.
Thank you. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this.
This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Deacon Kevin Stasko, the Director of the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry and Family and Faith Formation, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Deacon Kevin, for that wonderful introduction. Thanks for all you do here in the Diocese of Sacramento. August 6, 9 a.m. to noon, DREs, CREs, Confirmation, Youth, RCIA coordinators, and catechists are invited to join for a morning of inspiration and reflection as we prepare for the new catechetical year. It will all take place in North State Region at Sacred Heart Parish at St. Stephen's Drive, 3141 St. Stephen's Drive in Anderson. And then also, for details on that, contact Renee Magana. That's R-M-A-G-A-N-A at scd.org. The Sacramento region will be, same time, will be at St. Mary's Parish, 350 Stinson Avenue in Vacaville. And for details on that, contact Teresa Donan, that's T-D-O-N-A-N, at scd.org. Again, it is August 6th from 9 a.m. to noon, and it's for, you know, everybody that's involved in catechesis as well. So much happening here in the Diocese of Sacramento. The new Catholic Herald is out and ready to go. And one of the great parts of the Catholic Herald, in my mind, I love the Catholic Herald magazine. It used to be a black and white newspaper printed on newsprint. It's now a glossy magazine, and I just love reading the various columns. Bishop Soto always has a column in there, and I look forward as well to Marriage Matters. And we're pleased to welcome in Steve Patton, who is here with us by phone today. He's the Family Services Advisor at St. Mary's Cemetery in right here, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services right here in Sacramento. And Steve, you're joined by your wife, Bridget.
Yes, Bob. Bridget and I are both here at home.
Very good. Hi, Bridget. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Yeah, I'm looking at this column about retirement. Very interesting about, it is interesting, you know, people, some people plan for retirement, some people don't. Some people retire at 50. Some people retire at 80. Some people never retire. And yet it is something that probably is going to face most people if they're lucky. And there are maybe more issues involved than you might think.
Right, Bob. And, you know, this is Bridget and I have been writing this column for, I don't know, five years or so now. You know, we get presented with various scenarios that we respond to. And this is one of those ones that just hits right close to home, you know, because, we're both 65, and we're like, okay, I'm still working, but, you know, we're definitely getting in that, that zone ourselves. So we're having a lot of lively conversations about that.
But we are 65 with one 15-year-old at home.
Yeah, I'm. So. I can take your 65 and raise you a few, and we've got four teenagers at home. So it's like people sometimes ask me, well, when are you going to retire? And I say, oh, are you kidding me? So I think both your family and our family are in. It's not a unique situation, but it's relatively rare. It's very joyful too.
Yeah. So anyway, Bob, the scenario in this article is of, you know, a couple who had, I'm gathering that they, you know, they're approaching or have just entered into their retirement, and they've got differing visions of what retirement's going to look like. And, you know, that's one problem. And the other problem is that they apparently had discussed this before retirement and kind of came to an agreement, and then all of a sudden they entered into retirement, and now they're like, at least one of them is like, well, I'm not so sure, you know, is wanting to rethink it. So
how can they move forward with that sort of thing? And that's something that Steve and I understand, because there are things that we have talked about in the past that might seem very good, and then 10 years, 20 years later, no longer what we are thinking for retirement. But with this couple, they, one of them had, they had both talked about traveling,
mm-hmm.
and one of them would still really like to do that. But the other one is now saying, but we have grandchildren here.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be around with them.
Well, and you know, there's so many variables. And as you point out in the column, frequently now, retirement is a much longer period of time than it used to be, with lifespans expanding. And yet, by the same token, I look at my own parents. My mom told me she was never so busy as when she retired, because she was an RN all of her life, and she said, you know, boy, people are calling her to be on this committee and that committee and lunch dates and all these things, you know, and she lived in a We lived in a relatively small town, and so everybody knew everybody, and everybody knew everybody else's business. So, Dorothy, she's retired now. She's available. We want you to be on our committee, whatever, you know, sometimes at the parish and sometimes, out in the community. And she said she was just always busy. I'd try to call her and say, Mom, can we go to lunch? And she'd say, let me turn my calendar out, you know. And
yeah.
And yet my dad was sort of forced into retirement by Parkinson's. And suddenly any travel plans they might have had would be dramatically curtailed because of his condition. You know,
that's a good point, Bob. You know, and you made me want to say a couple things. That first of all, we do have to be careful about boundaries, you know, as you enter into retirement and all of a sudden, you know, you do have more time available, but it's, you know, your time as a couple to decide how you're going to use that. And, of course, you know, you ideally want to be generous with that time with others, and yet also you have to be protective of it. And then because you don't want to, you know, exhaust yourself in retirement or feel used.
You're right.
You know, you also raise the point of you know, just the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. I mean, it is going to happen, especially as you grow older, and you know, Parkinson's, you know, will that's just one of a number of maladies.
Sure.
And the plans just got to change.
Yeah, I wake up in the morning just counting which body parts still work. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, like where I didn't even know I had an elbow and now it hurts, you know. And you can't remember what you did. Maybe it was trying to open that pickle jar, you know. and then, you know, I think grandkids, that's a huge one in terms of I know in my hometown it's become very, very popular to build really big retirement villages. And I run into people all the time that say, oh, I moved here about a year ago. And you say, why? And they say, oh, our grandkids are in this town. And so they've sold the home wherever they were and moved out and live in a retirement village and are quite happy being near, you know, near the grandkids. But my mom was always, she always had a sign up in her house that said, grandkids are God's gift for growing old. And she loved the grandkids. I've had other people say, well, we love the grandkids because they come visit and then they go back home. So
talking about it, when we were writing that article, and it's, one of the things that we wanted to focus on at the end was how sometimes these things can go together.
Right.
Traveling and
sure.
Spending time with the grandkids. And it reminds me of my parents. My father never really wanted to retire, but he definitely made it possible for him to be able to travel with my mother. But he also loved road trips. And mm-hmm. my mother did not like getting mm-hmm. in a car. She liked flying somewhere, but not...
Right.
Getting in the car or even the train, and my father, I can't remember what the trip was, but he took the train across the country, and he took one of his grandchildren
mm-hmm.
with him, my nephew Mark, and Mark was about 10 at the time, and they took that train that heads off across the northern, you know.
The northern tier? Yeah.
Yeah, through Chicago. And it was one of the best experiences of Mark's life, and my father loved it so much. I mean, there are ways that you can work things out to have the kind of retirement you want and to include the people that you want to include.
Yeah, you know, I've found with grandkids that it's so wonderful because I'm big, and fortunately my wife is too, and our kids are on road trips, and. Yet frequently road trips when kids are little, there's so much marveling. You know, they've never seen the ocean before. They've never seen Yosemite before. They've never seen the Redwoods before. And they're just in awe of all these things out there. And or even, you know, more, I guess, popular things like Disneyland or Knott's Berry Farm or those kinds of things. But as they get older, as they get to be college age, they don't have quite the same marvel on a road trip that they did. And yet a granddaughter or a grandson has that same marvel, and it's almost like you get to live it again.
That's so true. It's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, you know, it truly is. It's like it's like having kids again, which is a thrill. But you know, the other thing about you, I'll read an obit first for somebody that I knew. And again, I live in a small town, and frequently it'll say she and her husband, or he and his wife, they traveled, and they name all the countries they traveled to and all that. There are a lot of people that in retirement don't have the means to do that. And that's another real difficult, you know. I mean, you look at the average Social Security payment is something like about $1,300 a month,
mm-hmm.
which is you just shake your head and you go, I can't imagine somebody trying to live on that.
Yeah, not only is it not much, but for many people, that's all they have.
That's it. Yeah, it's not a supplement. That's it.
Yeah.
And then comes that stress at a time of life when you just want to rest, the stress of trying to make ends meet.
Yeah. I mean, one of those rare prescriptions that cost you money, and or you, maybe you didn't get Medicare Plan B or whatever, or a broken car or something like that, and you're just, you know, that's, you know, you're, there's a, and that's not an insignificant number of people that are in that boat.
Yeah, and that's why, Bob, if we can send one message out to, I mean, not just the retirement age people, I mean, in a sense, it's almost, I don't want to say it's too late, but it's a lot more difficult to deal with at that point, but those who are in their, you know, 50s, 40s, even 30s and 20s, is plan ahead. This is going to happen, you know, or probably it's going to happen. I mean, if you survive to your
right.
To your 60s, then it sneaks up on you, you know. So I didn't ever think I always thought 65 was ancient, you know, and you're back there in your 20s and 30s, and you think life is just going to go on, you know, you're going to be young forever, and then...
I know. I used to think 40 was ancient.
But it's sometimes it's not planning, but other times it's just the tragedy that befalls. It might be divorce. It might be loss of your savings. It might be, you know, health issues. But it's really important what you that issue that you raised, because it just helps us to be aware of others around us.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm amazed, though, that you wrote an article about retirement and did not mention pickleball. Which is just, I was a tennis player in college, and once in a while you run into your old teammates, and they're all playing pickleball. And a lot of the retirement villages or, you know, the 55 and older communities, they're converting all their tennis courts to pickleball courts. And the state of Washington, it's now the official game of the state of Washington, is pickleball.
We don't live in a retirement village, but we live within 5 minutes of two different pickleball courts.
Is that right?
And they're pretty popular.
It's hugely popular. I haven't tried it yet. I think of it as a kind of a backyard barbecue kind of game, you know, like a racket in one hand and a drink in the other hand, you know. And but I guess it's some people are pretty serious about it. But and you know, I think that's the other thing that is so important in retirement and even thinking about retirement is your physical fitness, you know. And it's become a big industry of, you know, physical fitness for seniors.
Yeah. And physical fitness has so much to do with mental fitness, too.
Yes, indeed.
Being physically fit is one of the best ways to stave off, like, dementia. Alzheimer's.
Almost every study you see of physical fitness, whether it's just walking a couple of miles a day or something more intense than that, swimming, riding your bike, etc., is how good it is for your brain, how good it is for your mental health. All of them point to that, and they're making it's almost they make new discoveries every day about and you're exactly right about truly staving off or preventing the various different diseases that cause dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and you know what, Bob? I just want to point out this, you know, the spiritual dimension of retirement too. That this is the time to, you know, really be getting, you know, reflecting back on a life lived and, you know, making amends if as needs be to, you know, loved ones and those loves lost. I mean, even within your family and friendships, to try to, you know, restore what can be restored and to, you know, to really prepare, because that the day draws nigh, you know, for passing on to the next life. And I just remember, and Bridget's heard this a million times already, but my very favorite epitaph, it was on a tombstone of somebody who died back in the 1860s, And it was his epitaph was a message to anybody who passed by his tombstone. It went like this: "Remember, man, as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you shall be. Prepare for death and eternity."
Yeah, it's perfectly said.
Yeah, so that, you know, really the golden years should be ones also of really contemplating eternity and, you know, that eventual passage.
One thing that we see often in our parishes is that when people retire, they now have time to come to daily Mass or spend time at adoration. And it's a wonderful thing to see. There's time now to just spend time with the Lord. And that's perfect.
Yeah, what a great way to start a weekday with Holy Mass. And virtually every parish will have a, some of them have a 6 a.m., some a 7, some as late as maybe 8, 8:30. Frequently, I know my parish, 3 days a week at least, had a 5:30, like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 5:30 in the evening. And that's a great way to start a weekday. Yeah. Or as you said, Bridget, you know, with adoration as well.
So anyway, yeah, to look upon those years of, you know, if you can, by God's grace, make it there, of not having to work for money anymore, and just now you've got time on your hands, just think of using it, you know, creatively, you know, with generosity for, you know, the needs of the church and the needs of the poor.
Yeah, and so much what I hear so many people, elderly, if you want to use the term, or people in retirement, and a lot of people are forced into retirement. They just can't work anymore. They've done manual labor all their life, and their bodies have just worn out on them. That loneliness is huge. You know, that I was talking to somebody that was delivering Meals on Wheels, and they said that so much of it was that human contact. More than the food, just here's somebody knocking on my door and bringing me food, and maybe they got 10 minutes to talk to me, and those things are huge, and it's easy to just kind of ignore that neighbor that lives down the street and alone and not really know who they are or what their situation is, but that human contact is, they may be completely fine financially, but maybe the family's all gone, or there wasn't a family to begin with, or the family lives far away, and that can just be devastating to people.
That's really important. The other day, I just dropped by a neighbor to return a piece of mail that had ended up in our mailbox, and she's been retired, and we know her, but as she invited me in, and as we're chatting, I just realized, oh my goodness, I don't visit her often, and in some ways, she's letting me know that she is lonely.
Yep.
And that's an invitation to me.
Right.
I love.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I only return mail if there's not a check in it. But we have two streets. Our numerical address is 721, and the very next street over also has a 721. We are constantly getting their mail, and one of the kids will run over and knock on the door or put it in their mailbox. We've never had it go the other way. I wonder what's... we've never knocked on the door over there and had anybody answer it. I'm wondering what of ours ended up there, and we never saw it. But I guess we'll just have to wonder. So, well, Steve and Bridget, there's some real good food for thought in there. And I think one of the things you really stress is the value of negotiation, you know, and really open communication.
Yeah, we were just visiting with Bridget's sister and brother-in-law for the 4th. And, you know, they just, you know, in retirement, they bought a new home together, and now their discussion is like, you know, about maybe putting a pool in. And and I could just—it was kind of just sweet looking at the, you know, watching the two of them just sort of like, you know, some gentle banter going back and forth between them about whether that would be a good use of their money or not. So, yeah, the journey of life, the journey of a relationship with another person is a continuous series of adjustments. It's not just about me, it's about us.
And right.
Us is more important than me or you. And so we got to, focus on that. And that's one of the biggest, I remember, Bob, way back when I did Marriage Prep, that was
right.
Just something to really drill down into the hearts of, naive. I was, of course, naive. Who knows what they're really getting themselves into when they get married? But, mm-hmm. That the value of who we are as a couple is more important than each of our individual needs.
And to always remember that, we get stuck all the time. Steve and I are trying to figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
And to give ourselves enough grace to allow, God to come into the
yep.
to the picture and time, to step back and let God's grace sort of undo that stuckness.
Yeah, because you're always going to have differences of opinion. Whether it's what you're going to have for dinner, where you're going to maybe go out to dinner, where you're going to go on vacation, what are you going to do on Wednesday nights? You're all going to have your preferences, nobody loves a martyr, but it's by the same token, you have to say, okay, I know my wife would really enjoy doing this. That's not my cup of tea, but let's do it, and because I know it'll be reciprocated.
Yeah,
exactly.
I remember one of my uncles, and I'm free to say this because he's Ian and my aunt long since deceased, but she would say, in all these decades of marriage, we have never had a disagreement about anything. Bob, I thought that is actually a problem. To me, what it was indicative of, you peel the onion skin back a little bit, and what she's actually saying is they never had a disagreement because she just goes along with everything that he wants.
Right, right.
And my goodness, that's not a great picture.
No. Yeah, it sounds. You mean to tell me she didn't like duck hunting after all? Well, Steve and Bridget, it's just a joy to talk with you. I hope next column we can get together and talk again.
Okay, Bob. Look forward to it, and it was great connecting with you. Hope you get to retire eventually yourself, my friend.
Well, this is a labor of love here on the radio, and I don't have that urge to retire for sure, but
awesome.
You never know. You never know. Thanks so much, you guys. God bless you and your beautiful family.
Thank you, Bob. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. That's Bridget and Steve Patton, and their column Marriage Matters is in the current issue of the Catholic Herald magazine, the issue for July and August. So it's just hot off the press. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. We'll talk to you again soon. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away. Stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining.
the thunder rolls. I barely hear you whisper through the rain. I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away.
Got it.